Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Girl named Buffy.
I'm Pike.
Pike isn't a name, it's a fish.
I liked her, even though she seemed kind of flaky. But as it turns out...
You have been chosen, Buffy.
To do what?
To stop the vampires.
Does Elvis talk to you?
And things started getting weird around here. Are we having a nightmare?
You threw a knife at my head.
And you caught it.
She was the one person I could really count on.
Kill him a lot.
Hi.
Welcome to Rewatchability. It's the podcast where we rewatch old movies and see if they hold up in a contemporary context.
That's so academic.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a degree. I'd like to be able to use it, okay?
All right. I'll back up.
I'm Robert LaRonde.
I'm Jay McNabb.
And I'm Blaine Waters.
And before we start, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Andy Mattress and HelloFresh, and also our Patreon supporters. Patreon's a thing where you can donate $1, $3, $5, and you get a little something in return for helping us. We give you the episodes early. Blaine curates a classic episode for you every week, beautifully paired with this week's topic.
It's like an hors d'oeuvre.
Do you have one in mind for next week?
Oh, for this podcast, yeah. Here? No,
because you don't plan in ahead. Well, this week, we're talking about a huge movie, a pop culture phenomenon, one of the great heroes of our time, I think. We're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Wonderful, wonderful character. We're not talking about the acclaimed television show. Why would we talk about something that is universally loved?
That would have been a joy to watch.
Yeah. I would rather watch how many cumulative episodes are eight seasons of TV?
Hundreds of hours. It's crazy.
Yeah, I would rather probably watch all of that than
and read the comic books. Do all that.
Get way into the Whedonverse. Right, yeah. No, we're talking about the movie, which came out in 1993, is it?
1992.
Okay. Yeah.
This week, I guess, it's the 25th anniversary. It's been 25
years. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like our high school reunion. You've got to go back and see what Luke Perry's been up to. See what Christy Swanson's been up to.
Luke Perry is in Riverdale.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. You guys seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard Luke that Perry's there. Jughead's a dick to buskers.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too. Yeah.
Anyway.
Whereas Luke Perry is a busker. That's what he did until Riverdale.
Yeah, well, we're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We have a special guest. We invited on Jess Beaulieu of the Crimson Wave.
Hello!
Did Rob pronounce that okay?
You nailed it, yeah.
Yes.
You Crimson. Nailed it.
Yeah, Crimson,
yeah,
you
nailed
got it.
Wave. You nailed the word wave. I know you were
it was hard.
Crimson?
Yeah.
Are you a big Buffy fan?
I'm a huge Buffy fan. Yeah, yeah. I'm, oh man. I've seen it. Oh God.
It's like
Buffy.
You're trying to convince us. It's like not
I know. It's
it's such a huge fan.
I sound sarcastic in everything I say, so, oh, okay. But it's genuine most of the time.
Oh, nice.
But man, I used to watch Buffy when it was on television. Do you guys remember television?
Vaguely.
That's so crazy to think of. I remember like being like 12, 13 years old and waiting for it to come on the WB, the WB network.
Yeah, put up with that fucking frog.
Yeah, that frog.
I don't mean French person.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, are you anti-French
people? I can say
that
I'm French.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, the show is mainly about how we don't like French people. I thought they told you that when they set this up.
this podcast or Buffy is Buffy's mostly about that.
It was the original script. It was just about her attacking French people, and they're like, "What if it's vampires?"
yeah, that was a great change that was made.
So let's talk about when we first saw the film of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Jam, let's start with you.
Oh, God. I saw it, I think, at a sleepover.
Oh, classic.
That's
90s.
Line.
That's my thing, man.
I was a little scared to watch it, to be honest. I remember the trailer being out and thinking it looked creepy and little scary. So I did not want to watch it, and I was apprehensive when someone rented it for the sleepover.
You didn't watch any horror movies or any, like...
I don't think I did at that age. I probably would have been, like, 9, okay. Maybe? So I was pretty creeped out by vampires. Not much
of a
story.
Sensitive soul, yeah.
Yeah, and then we watched it, and I think I liked it okay. Didn't make a huge impression. I rewatched it a couple of years ago because, like, I since became a huge fan of the show, obviously, so I wanted to go back and see if there was anything in the movie that kind of hinted at how awesome the show is. And we'll talk about the differences between the two.
Yeah, but, sure.
Yeah, this wasn't a huge movie for me. This is something I watched begrudgingly because I was a coward. what about you, Blaine?
I watched The Chase first, I think. And so I didn't watch this when it like first came out, but I had a big schoolboy crush on Christy Swanson.
You had to like track down her whole filmography.
Well, no, this came out and I was like, this looks like a fun movie. And this girl I like is in it. So I'm going to.
Well, you would have been like 9?
No, I was older than that. Like, okay, I didn't watch it.
When you first saw it.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I was older than that.
Also, you're talking about her, this girl I like you know her.
Yeah.
My friend,
My friend, Christy Swanson, who I had a big crush on all the elementary, was in the new Hollywood movie.
Who knew she was going to get big? I don't know.
Yeah.
My girlfriend, but she goes to a school over next town.
Yeah, it's all just like.
She lives in Sunnydale. You don't know her.
So I watched it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. When I was a kid, and I'd only seen, I did a play later in Hart House Theater, and
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the play.
Yeah, it was a fringe thing. No, I did a show, and the superintendent of the theater came by, and he was like, "Your dressing room, Donald Sutherland used to be in that dressing room," and I was like, I was really disappointed because I'd only seen him in this, and I didn't quite like him. In this
Canada's greatest actor.
And I was like, oh, cool. I guess he's a big Hollywood actor. Like, what was he like? And the superintendent was like, bad breath. That's all he said. And then he left.
I thought you were going to say I was in a play and like Christy Swanson was in the audience or something.
No.
That story was very disappointing.
I would be your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Blaine, didn't you get all my letters when you were 9?
I sent them from set. When did you first see this?
I didn't see it for a long time. I remember when it first came out and seeing like the ads for it, and I was like really fascinated by like the character of it, but I didn't have, you know, the money or the agency to go see a movie.
Well, you were a child. You were a child. You didn't have, you know,
couldn't
a wallet.
Scrape up $4.
I know. They were so cheap back then.
You know, it was pretty pathetic. to be fair, Blaine, I felt like a stirring that I didn't understand at the time.
And it was about vampires, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. And supernatural.
That's why you're slash
really something. I mean, that's why they're so popular amongst like teenagers. You know, there's the Twilights.
Well, it's the changes you go through.
Yeah. Basically, every horror movie is about puberty. Yeah, exactly. The teenagers.
Teenager Snaps was.
Yeah. So I didn't see it for till quite some time later. I think I saw like a bunch of it on TV, and honestly, like, it didn't look as good as the show, and I liked the show okay, but
so
I wasn't...
So you saw the show
first. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, probably. Yeah. So I didn't have any really strong memories about it, but I like some of the elements. I mean, I like Donald Sutherland. Yeah.
I know where he used to change.
Great. Yeah. What about you, Jess?
Okay, so I saw this film in theaters, in the movie theaters.
So you had money.
Yeah, no, I didn't. So this is the crazy story. This is a significant story because my dad took me to see the movie. He's kind of like a deadbeat dad and didn't do like very much in our lives.
Dads love taking you to movies.
Okay, but deadbeat dads especially because you don't have to talk, right? So, but they can say, oh, we hung out. I raised you.
Right.
So I took you to that one movie.
I bought your glass sets. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Except minus the glass sets. There were no glass sets.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, so I remember he took me and my sister, but I was born in 1996, so I was 6 years old when my father took me to see Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. And it is actually kind of a terrifying movie, at least for a child at moments. Actually, I would even say it's scarier than the television show. There's something eerier about, like, I don't know. Right. Like, there, yeah. I don't know.
There's an unreality about it.
Yeah, yeah. And that, like, the vampires can fly, which kind of creepier. Yeah. And, like, it was a bit more graphic, I want to say. I feel like there's more blood.
Well,
they didn't turn to dust.
Yeah, they don't turn to dust.
Yeah, so there was, like, way more blood and, like, I don't know. There was just something that, like, you know what? I'm probably also, I'm just more scared of it because I was 6 years old when I watched it. Mm-hmm. And so then that then created a fear of vampires within me for the next, 10 years of my life. Like, an aggressive fear of vampires.
Where Did you have, hang, like, garlic?
Yeah, no, but I thought about it a lot. I thought about it a lot.
I ate a lot of garlic bread.
Yeah, yeah. But my mom was also really Catholic, and there were, like, crosses around the house, and I, like, didn't like...
So you
like,
felt safe?
Yeah, but I didn't like Catholicism. I hated Catholicism, right. But I also didn't like vampires, so I was like, well, this kind of works then. Yeah, like, I'll keep the crosses, because
I don't believe in this cross, but it's a good tool.
Yeah, it's, like, a good tool. To fight vampires.
Yeah.
But I hate...
Or start fires if you need to.
Exactly. When a vampire grabs it. Yeah. Doesn't, you can do a lot of things with a cross. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so yeah, so that was, like, just like my dad create, like, just by taking me to a movie on an afternoon one day, like, established just, like, a 10 year long, like, aggressive fear of vampires.
Wow.
So crazy. Like, nightmares. Wake up screaming from nightmares, being like, the vampires are coming.
So this is a parental moment, though. Like, after the movie, you're scared. You're scared. Was it like, it's all right?
No, he didn't cover me. He's a deadbeat dad.
He was like, there's a vampire in the car.
Vampire movies. Oh, no. That's what he did. He took me to so many inappropriate. He also took me to Eyes Wide Shut once, but I was, like, a teenager at that time, which was maybe worse.
I think that's worse.
Yeah, there vampires in that?
There were so many vampires. Have you seen that movie?
Was a vampire.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he got thrown out of that party before they were like, okay, now it's time to feast on the blood of the innocents.
he left before they all died. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so yeah, that's my story. So it's kind of a pretty intense story.
But you still, like the character.
It's so weird because then I love the show so much. But I started watching the show when I was, like, a tween, probably. I was, like, 12. So I don't know if it was, like, a rebellious thing where I was like, I don't care about vampires.
I'm going to face my fear.
I'm not scared of vampires, but I was scared. Like, in the first few episodes, I was like, oh, I can't. And then I got used to it. I don't know.
They also, like, in the show, I think they quickly realized that vampires aren't, like, the best villain. Like,
no.
The sort of better Buffy stories didn't even have vampires.
Well, she kind of dispatched. Them really easily, right? Like
in, that too.
Yeah,
they were less scary. I don't know why.
Kind of like putties from,
you know, from Power Rangers.
From Power Rangers, yeah. They're just like, she kills them so easily.
Oh, putty, that is interesting. Well, that also is
like
exactly
in the TV show, they had like those like weird messed up faces, so they like weren't they?
Yeah.
Took away their humanity. So you're like, you know,
yeah,
they weren't real.
Well, I think that in the film, they didn't have like CG, like they didn't transform, right? So they
they just looked really pale.
They just had teeth
at a Cure concert.
Yeah, they also had like Vulcan elfin ears in the movie. Yeah, they're like kind of strange.
Yeah, reptilian almost with the eye bridge or. Well,
they,
ridge.
They
no, no. I mean, in the movie, they had.
Oh, in the movie,
they had like pointed ears.
Yeah,
in the show, they had the ridge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that maybe because most of the time in the show, they just look like normal humans, except when they transformed.
They want to show a transformation.
Yeah.
And so you could hide the vampire amongst people.
Yeah.
Right?
And also, Angel would not have looked that hot if he was always a vampire.
Looks like Worf.
Yeah. He wouldn't have been a heartthrob. He would have been like, that man is so ugly. Why
I'm surprised he became a sex symbol at all.
Really?
It's like you're kissing a guy and then all of a sudden his face turns all puffy and weird. You're like, ugh.
Well, that was like a big reveal, I think, when Angel changed the first time and Buffy saw him. It was dramatic.
Right. Oh, man, we should be talking about the show.
Yeah, you know what? Let's turn the podcast off. Go watch the show.
We'll be back in 120 hours.
Yeah. Talking about heartthrobs, though, Luke Perry, am I right?
Yeah.
There we go. I brought it back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
So do you want to run down the plot of the movie, Rob?
Yeah, so I'll try. So it's about Buffy Summers, who is...
Though they don't say her last name in the movie.
Right.
I know. Yes.
Right.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah. No, they just say Buffy.
It's kind of hard watching this movie.
It's right there on the poster.
As if that's something like a conspiracy theory. Like, they just say Buffy. Interesting. Interesting.
Her last name could be Vampire Slayer.
Right.
Exactly. Maybe it was Winters. Get it? Do you get it?
She thought out for the show. Yeah.
But so she is... I guess it really starts with like like some gothic script, and it's like, every generation there will be a chosen one, a slayer, and
no, that's great.
And then it sort of like pops
was that
through.
A clip I think that was a clip
it pops to a Bring It On routine. Christy Swanson, you know, she's not a vampire ass kicker yet. She's a cheerleader, and she's like at the top of the pyramid doing all like, you know, leading the cheers. I don't know how that really worked. Were you a cheerleader? Did you do
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely not. No.
But
there were male cheerleaders. Why didn't you ask me?
Were you a cheerleader?
No, that was too close to sports. Even that was like peripheral to sport.
Had to leave a chair, you know?
That's how I felt about it too. Yeah. So I wasn't opposed to it ethically.
Yeah.
But anyway. Ethically. But she's the head of the cheerleading squad. She's a popular girl. She has all of these friends who are like cool and have like big 90s hair.
And from Clueless for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilary Swank is one of them. And her hair is really bad in this movie. She hasn't really figured it out yet. She just like gave up and went short for the rest of her life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But she's just a normal, regular, sort of like popular girl. You know, she's not very nice to some of the other people. Like,
yeah, she's kind of the queen bee of the school.
Yeah, that's right. But everything seems to be going her way. Meanwhile, some kids seem to be like disappearing in the background. Nobody really seems that concerned. We also have Luke Perry, as you mentioned, and his best friend, probably in real life, David Arquette.
I hope so in real life.
Yeah. They just talk about all the acting gigs they're not getting.
They need each other. Yeah.
He's in Riverdale.
He is in Riverdale.
Yeah, he is.
He's killing it.
Yeah, he is.
But the weird thing about him in this movie is his hair is like all matted when we meet him.
Yeah, and he has a soul patch, right?
Does yeah, he does.
I think so.
Yeah.
Why would you cast Luke Perry in a movie in 1992 and give him terrible hair?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Maybe the hairdressing budget on this movie wasn't so great.
It's like casting Jackie Chan and being like, don't do any martial arts in this movie. But he's like this loser kind of guy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. He's supposed to be like a bit of a misfit.
Well, he's kind of like the grunge guy. He works in a garage, you know. He's the cool guy. He's the guy that like dudes watching this movie wanted to be.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I did when I was a kid.
I think, I'm not a dude, so I don't know. But I'd say dudes watching it wanted to be him. I think in the movie he was supposed to be sort of like, I guess kind of like in Breakfast Club. What's his name's character? In
Judd Nelson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how he's kind of like kind of a loser, but also sort of a badass?
Yeah, he's kind of cool. Yeah.
But like
yeah.
people also think he's a loser. It's like hard to describe, but they want to be
because
him.
Because he goes his own way.
He's the establishment. Yeah. You know, that's why he's a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Buffy has like a boyfriend too. Like there's like a really handsome man with like, you know, like a flat top hairdo, right? Mm-hmm.
He plays sports.
But
I don't think I've ever seen that guy before or since this movie.
No. He looks like
he existed for this movie.
He looks like the photo in like a barbershop manual from like the 90s.
Give me the Buffy's boyfriend.
Oh my god,
that's the super cut. All right,
$8. I wish that was a haircut in the 90s, like the Rachel. Yeah. He's like, give me the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie's boyfriend's haircut.
Yeah.
Your hair is huge, but we can't get you any acting jobs. I'm so sorry. There's no way to capitalize. No, I can't think of any.
It's like 1 inch away from like John Ralphio's haircut. Right. But anyway, so meanwhile, there's a creepy guy lurking around, looking around the school, as there usually is. This one is acclaimed Canadian actor Donald Sutherland. And at first, he's just sort of like creeping around the students, sort of like.
It's really too bad. It's really creepy. He's so much
creepier than Giles was, because Giles worked at the school.
Yeah, he had a job.
And he didn't wear a trench coat and a hat. Wasn't he wearing a trench coat and a hat, Donald Sutherland's character?
Yeah, he looks like he dressed up as Indiana Jones for Halloween and then wanted to flash people. That's what he looks like.
He does kind of look like a flasher. He's wearing a long coat. Am I wrong with that?
He's wearing a long coat.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I don't remember Giles ever, say, wandering into the girls' locker room.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she's like, we're naked in here. This is the naked space. He's like, whatever. You know, he just glosses over it.
Yeah, he'd be arrested immediately if this was reality.
It's not creepy. My name is The Watcher.
That's great. Did The Watcher sign in?
Oh my god, that's so funny. Well, that's a really creepy name. Yeah, I've never thought about that.
It's better than the leerer.
That's,
you know?
like the peeper. Like, you know, they're like, oh my god.
Perfectly innocent. It's every generation, there's a young girl and a peeper.
And a peeping man who walks around and looks at them.
My real name is Tom. I'll see you later.
Well, yeah, because first he approaches her in a mall,
which
is kind of a weird place.
Sure.
Yeah, he just sounds like a crazy stalker. He sounds like a random crazy man on the street being like, oh, I have a mission for you. Like,
Yeah, yeah.
Please, pretty girl, come with me to this graveyard, and I'll show you your mission.
And he's not quite sure if he has an English accent or not.
The debate's out.
So then what happened? Okay, so go ahead.
Well, so Luke Perry and David Arquette are getting drunk or something one night, and they're like out by the roadside, and Luke Perry sort of like is so drunk that he falls off whatever they're sitting on. And Donald Sutherland sort of like steps up to him. And like at the same time, this vampire with a very puffy shirt grabs David Arquette and takes him and kills him. And
it's the Seinfeld shirt. It's like the pirate shirt. Yeah.
I found it so hard to watch this thinking about that episode because these are all like the very like Baroque era of vampires. This is like the Interview with the Vampire era of like frilly vampires and Van Dykes and, you know, long mullety hair.
And that's, I feel like in this show, the vampires make fun of the vampires that are dressed like that still. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, cause Angel and Spike and like, Drusilla's kind of dressed like a little bit more modern, but then they meet the vampires who are like dressed more like, you know.
Anne Rice vampires.
Yeah.
There is an episode where like they go to like a vampire club where everyone like dresses like vampires and they're kind of wearing that. And Angel's like, we don't dress like that. And then a guy walks by wearing the exact outfit that Angel is.
Yeah, it's a great show.
What are some other funny moments from that show?
Do you guys remember when vampires like were a thing though? Like kids wanted to like be vampires and people would like grind their teeth?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I heard about that. I don't know if that's like
people still do. Don't
is that
they?
Like an old wives' tale that kids
I don't know.
Do that?
There was a band, Typo Negative, who supposedly did that. And sang like gothic songs. But it was like a thing, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was a thing in the early 2000s. Like,
but these weren't sparkly chaste vampires.
Right.
These were like,
like Catholic vampires.
Sexly DIY dentistry vampires. Well, so David Arquette gets made into a vampire, but Donald Sutherland, you know, since he's standing there, he saves Luke Perry's life. Sorry about your friend.
Yeah,
That's a weird thing, because the vampire almost just, like, comes in, like, grabs one guy out of the hurt. He's like, there's no attack on anyone else.
Yeah. It's the watcher, not the intervener.
More like the bystander.
That's right. So later, like, Luke Perry is, like, in his room, and David Arquette knocks on the window.
That's a great line, though. Like, I'm not letting you in, man. You're floating, man. I love those lines. Great.
Yeah, he, like, doesn't seem to acknowledge, like, he's too stupid to realize that his friend's, like, dead or a vampire or something.
Yeah, I feel like he was stoned, but he couldn't be stoned in the movie, but he was definitely stoned.
Right, because it's like a PG-13.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was acting so either drunk or stoned, being like, man, I don't understand what's happening, man. Yeah.
Also calling out that David Arquette was trying to, like, convince him he wasn't a vampire and he was normal, but he was floating. He's flying, right? So it's kind of the worst way to do that, you know?
Yeah, it's a good bit of comedy.
Yeah, just like, don't fly and maybe he'll believe you that you're human.
He's new at this.
Yeah. So Luke Perry calling that out is like great, because we're all like, what is this guy, an idiot? Like, we all know he's not a vampire. He's flying.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like, no one believes
he has
you.
Teeth, he has ears.
Yeah, but even like, that, you keep your mouth closed and just smile and walk on the ground. Yeah.
Put on a toque.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like whatever Jughead wears.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
For American listeners, that's a knitted hat.
Beanie. Yeah. Okay. There's also like a bunch of other, like, while Buffy is sort of being stalked by Donald Sutherland, we also get like a glimpse of the vampires. Now, the first vampire that we see is one of the most horrific creatures of the night, Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, you
great.
Don't want to see him in a dark place. Yeah.
No, you do. He's wonderful.
Yeah, don't rag on Paul Rubens. Though, this is an interesting bit of trivia that he, one of his stipulations to be in this movie, because it was supposed to be played by Joan Chen, who played Josie in Twin Peaks, but she's stuck in that doorknob or whatever.
In the dresser
at the hotel. but they cast Paul Rubens instead, and he said his only thing was, if he did the part, it was right after his arrest, and he wanted to look as much like his mugshot as possible.
What?
So if you look at his mugshot, he's got that long hair and goatee, and he's pretty much dressed the same as he is in this movie.
Why would he request that? That's the opposite of a good PR move.
I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
No, I think that is what it was. Yeah.
You know what? He had a Netflix show. It must have worked out for him, all right, in the end.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I guess in the end.
Yeah, I think it's probably about, like, kind of reclaiming
yeah,
this thing that
for sure.
Well, he had to like give up the Pee-wee character for a long time and do like roles that weren't like that. Like he did Mystery Men and stuff like that. Stuff that was more like more anonymous.
Yeah. Though that it is a slight misnomer because I was actually just reading about this that the Pee-wee show had ended before that.
Yeah.
And I think they were still airing some of the episodes when he was arrested, but people were like, they canceled Pee-wee because of.
And he was arrested for exposing himself in a theater, right? But it was a porn theater, right? Is this accurate?
Well, he was arrested at a porn theater. I don't know.
I was reading about this because I was writing something about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but he was visiting his parents at the time too, which makes it even sadder. Like he was just looking for a night out of the house away from his folks.
Yeah, you can't like masturbate at your parents' house.
Well, yeah, because the '90s. He didn't bring his porn to his parents, you know, that'd be awkward. So he needed to go out to the
Different time.
There was no internet.
Yeah. Oh man.
But he's great.
He is great, even though he looks ridiculous in this thing just because it's shot so weirdly. But I found him like kind of menacing. And even though I'd read his name in the credits, it took me a second to be like, oh, that's Pee-wee. He's the vampire.
Yeah, because you didn't see his mugshot. So you didn't
that's
know.
Right.
Yeah. And he's one of the best parts of this movie, I'd say. I thought he was very funny and fun.
Well, he's like raising a, not like raising a child. He's like raising his like master or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah. From the dead. Yeah. Rutger Hauer.
Yeah, that's right.
It needed to be said in stereo because he's important.
I thought it was Undead Mark Twain or something.
Right. Yeah.
He is like the second least not scariest vampire in this movie after Paul Reubens. He looks like vampire Hal Holbrook.
It's vampire Hal Holbrook as Mark Twain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He was also really into tying ribbons around women's necks, right? What was with that? Yeah, he was always like tying ribbons.
This is a good fashion accessory. He had his own thing.
It's like women still like this, right?
Yeah. That was his signature. Yeah. Maybe he just wanted to be a fashion designer all along.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, once I bite you, you have to wear a choker. It's a thing. It hides the marks, but it's also a fashion accessory.
So he wasn't wearing the cape because he was a vampire. He was just trying to bring it back.
Exactly.
That's why he was in California. He was trying to get into fashion. It didn't work out. And this is how he lashed out.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so the on-set dresser. We used to do this horrible segment. We looked at the funny names on the credits.
Oh, yes. Blaine's funny names.
Yeah. Yeah, you're bringing that back?
Yeah. For this movie alone.
From the dead.
Because the on-set dresser, the person that dressed people in this cape, their name was Rocky Slaymaker. Which is fucking amazing.
Wow.
Slaymaker.
Buffy the Vampire Slaymaker.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Crazy. Wow.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so. That's a great place to take a break. Mm-hmm. We'll be back.
Talk about Rutger Hauer.
Yeah. Hauer Power. The Hour of Hauer Power.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, we're back to talk about Jess. We're here to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Were you going
to
say talk about Jess?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about me.
Talk about you.
About Buffy.
Yeah. Talk about me for the next
hour. If you don't mind opening up.
Yeah, I know. I've slayed a lot of men, mostly.
And vampires.
And vampires. Mostly a male vampire.
No, we're here to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer with Jess Beaulieu of the Crimson Wave podcast.
Yes.
And we were just talking about Rutger Hauer, who has been one of the greatest villains in cinema history. He was in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that was the one.
Yeah, that was the only one.
Wait, he's in lots of movies.
I know he is.
He was Hitcher.
Lots of movies.
Oh, he was in Blade Runner.
Hitcher.
Oh my god, he was the blonde guy in Blade Runner, right?
Yeah,
He was the Hobo avec un shotgun. I saw the French version.
Right.
He was that sniveling Wayne board member and Batman Begins.
Yeah.
What else is he in? He was in
Blade Runner.
Yeah, we said that.
Okay. Yeah, we said.
And Blade Runner. he was only in Blade Runner.
When he started a career, he was like a really young and handsome guy, and he was in like a Robin Hood kind of show in like Scandinavia, I think.
Wow.
That's where I know him from.
Oh, man. He's been in 170 things, and they're all Blade Runner.
Did this remakes of Blade Runner? Various remakes? Exactly.
Yeah. He is also in Riverdale. No, he's not.
I think he was a vampire in True Blood as well. So he's played vampires. Yeah.
Was he actually?
I think he was in True Blood.
I hope he wasn't a vampire in True Blood. He just was like, I refuse.
He was a replicant.
Typecast is vampire.
Cold. I don't want to.
I played it once in 1992 and never again. Okay.
Yeah.
So we haven't actually talked about the part where Buffy becomes the vampire slayer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Donald Sutherland finally creeps her enough that she's like, you know, hey, stop following me. Stay out of this school. Nobody likes you. Go back to your retirement home.
Yeah, and she's good at that because she's a teenage girl. She's the queen bee. She's good at like insulting people.
Yeah, but also like he should be looking after his own son who is a vampire. Boss boys.
Yeah. His mortal enemies are garlic, crucifixes, and Christmas trees. You can cut that out.
That's a Lost Boys deep cut.
Yeah. But so he like throws a knife at her and catches it and realizes that
and she
like,
catches it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not a boomerang knife.
That's what I said. He throws a knife and she catches
it. Okay, there you go.
And realizes that, yes, in fact, it is her destiny. Oh, and also she's had all these, like, dreams, like period piece dreams.
Period dreams, yeah.
Where, you know, she's like somebody else. Mm-hmm. And when Donald Sutherland talks to her, he's like, do you remember being, like, an escaped slave or something like that? And she doesn't remember that, but she remembers this one.
He doesn't say that.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah.
What, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
He definitely does.
But also,
well, they try to tie a little history in there.
Yeah, educate the kids.
The
white people are the vampires in that analogy.
Also, in the opening like prologue, I guess that's like one of her dreams,
right?
We're meant to, but like Donald Sutherland is in it because I guess in the movie the Watchers are also reincarnated.
Yeah,
so wouldn't he be like?
Oh.
In your dreams, am I there?
You're right. Didn't you see me in your dreams?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, that sounds like such a bad line. You don't want to go into a high school and start saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Watchers are reincarnated. Oh.
Yeah. I don't think they were in the show, but in the movie, though. No.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just sort of passed on and trained.
Yeah, it wasn't even reincarnation, though. It was just passing on the
like a mentorship.
Power. Like for the Slayers. They were in terms of like one died, but then it wasn't like the other one was born then.
Right. Yeah. No, and all girls are Slayers, right? Like every girl is a Slayer.
No,
thing?
What?
And then once you go down the line, everyone becomes a Slayer.
Not every woman is a Slayer,
but there's a lot of Slayers.
But there are a lot of Slayers bumping around, but then their Watchers usually sometimes start training them before they're called upon, right?
Right.
That, like, so that they, before they actually get the power, they have more skills.
Right. Yeah, yeah, because in Buffy, there were like, because Buffy kept dying, there were two other Slayers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then, in the last season, when she gets all those Slayers that haven't been called upon yet,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So there, it was not like one dies and the other one is then born. We have to wait like 16 years.
And also, it's not all women. It doesn't end with like every woman on Earth getting superpowers.
No, it's not all women.
All right.
I mean, all the Slayers are women, but not all women are Slayers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you know anything,
that's like
Blaine?
A tautological argument. It's like philosophy class.
I thought this was sex ed or something.
But that's
boys have a penis. Women kill vampires.
But the Watchers are just regular people. Like anyone can be a Watcher, right? They're all British, it seems.
In the show,
application. You have to do a police screening, probably. Oh, maybe not with Donald Sutherland.
Yeah,
no, he definitely didn't do.
But in the movies, there's definitely like Donald Sutherland says something like, "I've done this hundreds of times through different lives."
He's like the Dalai Lama. He like
also,
remembers his past.
He's like traumatized by seeing these other Slayers die because some of them have not been ready. And like later, when Buffy Rucker Hauer finally sort of like confronts Buffy, and he's like hypnotizing her with his dreamy eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a power or if it's just like his Scandinavian intensity. But Donald Sutherland's like, "No, she's not ready yet."
Yeah.
Give and then another 5 minutes.
And then he gets staked for it.
Yeah. Well, he sort of like, in a way, sort of sacrifices himself.
But he doesn't. It's a weird sacrifice because Rutger Hauer is going to like kill Buffy. And then he's like, don't do it. and then he kills Donald Sutherland, and he's like, you know what? That guy I just killed was kind of right. I'm going to leave. Like, there's no, it, like, she didn't get away.
Yeah.
So it was a weird.
It seems weirdly motivated. Yeah, it's like, this will exactly. be so much sweeter when I kill you later. It's like, oh, you're not quite aged yet. Give you another year. Oh, you know, blood is like
this
wine.
This is the creepiest thing.
It's
yeah.
like wine. Oh,
but also, in the original script, I think it was, he was supposed to kill himself, the Watcher.
Yeah.
Merrick is his name. He was,
yeah, that's right.
He was supposed to.
Parents love the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Why? Why was he? Why? Why would he kill himself?
I think what I read was that he was really lonely.
He was in that movie.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
he's yeah. like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah. Spend half my time in locker rooms.
No, he's Buffy
a girl that hates society.
No, it was that Rutger Hauer was trying to find out who Buffy or who the Slayer was. And he didn't want to tell him. And so Rutger Hauer bit him to turn him into a vampire. And then he would be evil and reveal the information. So
right.
to prevent himself from becoming a so vampire, he killed himself.
Oh.
That's what I read in any case.
So that like, kind of makes sense. I
after
like
he was bit or before?
Yeah, either just after or just before. I'm not sure.
Because they become vampires how fast?
I really feel. Quickly. Because some teens right? that are just bitten in the end just
yeah, right,
snap
right away,
up.
Right?
The vampires, yeah.
Because
yeah. yeah.
in the show, it's right away. Way as well, right?
Yeah. In the show, there's also like, oh fuck, I feel like such a fucking nerd. In the
you
show,
are.
If the
that's why you do this
you can
podcast.
Be killed by a vampire, but then if you want to turn someone into a vampire, there's actually like a ritual, like you have
yeah,
to feed
yeah.
off them, and then they have to feed off you.
Yeah, right. they have
it's like a whole deal.
They have to take your blood, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
I think it's in like Interview with the Vampire. I think I'm thinking about that because that's like a 12-hour period or something. Like,
yeah,
right, like it
yeah.
takes a long time.
And like, and yeah,
they
true blood. Yeah, true blood. You need to bury
true
someone.
Blood, there's like a longer process
yeah,
as well.
You bite them. You need to bury them.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of paperwork. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
6 to 8
fill out some surveys
period.
Afterwards. You know, rate
yeah,
my
that's
bite.
Right.
Yeah,
but Buffy's right away. I think in both versions, both the show and the movie. I think yeah. it's almost immediately.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
yeah,
Anyway, yeah. Well, there's also like a good training montage. Where she like, because she's like a good, she has gymnast skills already, which she demonstrates
she's a cheerleader,
through her
yeah.
cheerleading, and she also does like a mean routine just for the hell of it. But then he's got to like teach her like all the karate stuff, and like does it all in like seems to be like 3 minutes.
It is 3 minutes because the scene that happens before that is like Pike being like, I gotta leave town, and then the scene that happens after that montage is Pike. Leaving town. So it's like, that's like half an hour while he collected his things
oh, yeah.
that she learned this over weeks
yeah,
in that half
hour.
Yeah,
he's a stoner. Like, how quickly
exactly.
do you think he's
going to
pack up?
Yeah, I was like, it took me a lot of time to get here this morning.
We had to plan this podcast 6 months ago so Rob would be here on time.
Also, I forgot that his name was Pike.
I know.
Which is so similar to Spike. And
they
both
oh, yeah.
wear leather jackets and
yeah.
did Joss Whedon just couldn't think of another name. And he's like,
yeah.
well,
why wouldn't
I got
you call
it.
Him Spike in the first place? Who calls somebody Pike.
Yeah, Pike is. Who was Pike? That's not
I really
name.
Love
that's
the Pike Place roast.
Well, yeah, but at one point, Buffy says, that's not a name, it's a fish.
Yeah, yeah.
So they probably
yeah.
wrote it just for that killer
just for
line.
That joke.
But, oh, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Spike
he's
and
like,
Pike.
He's like proto Spike.
He's kind of like Spike a little bit more than Angel, like, because he's a little bit more like sassy, I feel, or
yeah.
like kind of funny.
But
sassy,
he's not exactly a 100-year-old vampire or anything.
No.
I don't,
he's
Luke Perry was definitely not a teenager. He was closer to being the 100-year-old vampire.
No, that's true.
Yeah, he was like a 35-year-old man.
So was Christy yeah. Swanson, I think. She looked like somebody's mom who was like infiltrating high school and trying to be cool.
Yeah. I think like when it showed her mom for a second, I was like, well, they're kind of the same age. They just gave her mom a fake tan. I mean, I don't know. It's weird.
Also, there's a really funny moment with her parents in the movie, because they're these really rich parents that are never
they're
there.
They're yuppies, yeah.
And in the show, right, her dad's gone, but she's really close with her mom. And I remember in the movie, there's this one moment where she gets home, because in the show, she's constantly lying to her mom, right? It's like this huge, oh, it's a constant problem. Her mom's like, go to school, be better at everything. And she's like, oh, I'm living a double life. And in the movie, I remember she comes home really late one night, and her mom is like, where have you been? And she's like, out somewhere. And then her mom's like, oh, okay, great. We're leaving for a couple days. See you later.
Yeah, it was
leaves right away.
It was the line. She was like, do you know what time it is?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're right.
And
that's
because we have to go if it's that late.
Yeah, like, do you know what time it is? She's like, 10 p.m. She's like, oh my God, we have to go. Okay, yeah, see you later. Yeah, have a good night.
Yeah, that was a good line. There's like islands of comedy in this.
That was
this
the
movie.
Funniest line in the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
for sure.
I think it tries to play the comedy a little bit more, like the, yeah. like the floaty vampire stuff. But also, like, the tone of it's really weird. I mean, we should wrap up the plot before we start to talk about just, like, the general sort of... But anyway, so the vampires, like, attack the prom. The vampire slayer, or the watcher is dead.
Yeah, it's the school dance. It's not... I don't think it's... prom.
Really?
It's a different school dance.
Because they talk about, like, it's like their last year and, you know, everything like that. And then I assume she got, like, set back a few grades for the TV show.
No, well, maybe it's the prom. Oh, yeah. I don't remember. They did talk about how many other school dances they have after.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a good idea for a big set piece at the school dance. I mean, it's something they did on the show a few times, I think.
Yeah.
They had a few school dance.
Plus, every teen movie seems to, like, you know, climax at the teen dance. Wait, that's not.
Yeah.
Everybody climax at the moment.
Yeah.
So there's this watcher.
But, you know, I it was really weird watching, like, the scenes in the high school because, like, it does try to, like, get into, like, the high school vibe a bit. And I was like, man, this is just, like, Dazed and Confused. And then I saw, like, one of the guys from Dazed and Confused, and Ben Affleck is there, too.
Yeah, yeah. Ben Affleck is in this, right? He's a basketball player, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's why there's a scene where they're all the vampires are basketball players and they're playing basketball as vampires. Right.
Yeah, there's, like, one vampire that comes in. And
Who was it? Was it her boyfriend? No.
No, it was her boyfriend's best friend.
It was her boyfriend's best friend.
Well, isn't it the guy who Dazed and Confused is like the guy who gives all the paddling? It's the same guy.
It's the same guy. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Richard Linklater saw this and was just like, just take away the vampires.
It's well, it also, like, that scene's kind of straight out of Teen Wolf, right?
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
But also no one notices. Like, he dunks the ball and then floats to the ground and everyone's like, like, they don't, this guy floated to the ground. No one's going to point that out. They're just going to cheer for the other team. I don't understand what these kids were looking at.
Yeah, there's something I don't like about this movie in terms of, like, how dumb people are.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Then no one notices that. Because they do that in a funny way on the show, I feel like, where, like, there's a vampire attack on the school and the principal thinks that it's like meth heads. Like, he's always saying, like, those kids are on drugs.
Right.
But they're, you know, they're not flying. They're not, you know, or at the end, you know, Stephen Root plays the principal here. And at the end, he's like giving detention slips to, like, corpses. It's like, well, that, no one would ever
stupid.
Do that.
Yeah.
That was funny, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny, but it doesn't, like, I don't know if it belongs in this movie. Like,
he's trying to maintain a sense of control. He just wants a stapler.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, no. What was I going to say? I think I was probably, I mean, I don't know if Joss Whedon wanted the vampires to fly in the movie or because there's such a goofier tone to this movie than in the show. Like, the show's so funny, but it is like it's supernatural, but it's kind of based in reality. Like, there's nothing really happens. You're like, oh, that, like, if somebody actually saw a vampire, they would react a lot of the time as they do in the show.
Yeah.
But in the film, it is like people are flying and, like, there's blood everywhere and they're like, oh, well, like, geez, you know, I hate school. Like, it's just not realistic.
Yeah. And the tone of the movie, like, you can't really feel for anyone. Like, there's no pathos for anyone. But in the show, there is, like, when Buffy's mom died, like, that was its seminal episode and you've really felt horrible.
Like, you think,
made you feel.
I sort of wondered, like, whether this was supposed to be, like, a satire or whether they were sort of going for that, because, like, the elements that we sort of start off with, like, Buffy's, like, the ditzy sort of cheerleader. She has lots of sass, right? Yeah. But, you know, she doesn't really care about other people. She has, like, popular friends, but
no.
And they sort of, like, they sort of make fun of all these stupid popular people because kids are dying and nobody seems to notice or care. But, like, and there is, like, all this great stuff where, like, Buffy's friends sort of, like, ostracize her a bit because she's so busy slaying. And
yeah, she hasn't been to school in, like, a week.
And then she, like,
I found that funny.
Sort of reaches back out to them and they, like, turn against her. And I sort of like that because it sort of, like, sets up the Buffy that we know in the show. But on the show, like, even, like, the popular people, like, the dense, dumb kids that were sort of, like, programmed to sort of hate by TV or whatever, there's a lot of empathy for them. Like, you know, they turn out to be, like, characters, or once they're traumatized by vampires or monsters attacking them, like, we see their humanity.
Yeah, they have depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here they're just, like, vacuous teens, like everybody thought teens were in 1992.
Yeah. Do you think that's a Reading problem, or do you think that's, like, a space problem? Like, they didn't just have enough space to develop those characters.
I mean, it might be a space problem. Like, I think, in a way, watching this now, and it's hard to watch it without complete knowledge of the show that comes after it, even seeing Buffy's transformation from popular person to sort of, like, this ostracized, damaged character at the beginning of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It seems like a pilot. Like, it really seems like, you know, it starts it all off, and, like, Buffy, even as a character, doesn't really have enough substance as a character in this movie to be interesting. Like, she sort of accepts her destiny as the Chosen One. Who fucking cares?
When she's
like grappling with her responsibility in the TV show, that is, like, really engrossing stuff. Here, it's just like, oh, she's a popular girl, and
you know.
Well, isn't that kind of weird?
But being kind of like a pilot before the actual pilot happened is kind of interesting, because Buffy is the outcast going into a new school from the beginning, right? She's kind of on the outside.
Because of the events of the movie.
And that's a kind of a cool place to start the show, which probably wouldn't have happened if not for the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the movie would have probably better as like
actually,
a popular girl from the beginning.
There's a piece on the AV Club earlier this year kind of saying that that's what's great about the movie, even though it's not that great, is that it kind of gets the less interesting bits of exposition out of the way so that the character starts the show in a more interesting place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I also just think generally, though, the direction of the film and the performances in the film also make the characters all seem very dumb and just empty.
Yeah.
Like, in one note, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that even like Sarah Michelle Gellar's performance as Buffy, there is more depth even in just the way she speaks and operates. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's why Joss Whedon like really liked her as an actor, and like all like they went through such an intense casting process because they wanted everybody to have like layers and be able to play multiple like facets and be dramatic but funny at the same time. And I think a lot of, like, I think Luke Perry actually has the most compelling performance in the entire film, surprisingly.
Right. Yeah. He has a real transformation.
Because he has a transformation.
Soul patch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his hair adapts. But I think that even Donald Sutherland doesn't really, like, he's always the same. Yeah. Like, Chrissy Swanson's always the same. Like, everyone's always just kind of the same through the whole film. Except Luke Perry. He's kind of the only one that changes a little bit.
That's true. He also has the kind of, like you alluded to, the kind of she's all that moment at the end where his hair is slicked back.
And
he's wearing like a cool jacket.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, her hair is slicked back too. It's like he saw it and was like, oh, I got the memo. Don't worry. like I just ran a comb through my hair.
Her hair is also slicked back. That's such a weird choice.
Yeah, a weird choice
to slick back.
I mean,
her
it was
hair.
Early 90s. I don't know.
Wasn't she wearing like a jacket over her dress or something?
He gives her his jacket.
Oh, he gives
her so
romantic.
She can fight. Because she's in a dress and it's hard and there's vampires like, oh,
you don't want to go with spaghetti straps when you're fighting vampires.
Yeah, you want to put more fabric on your body. That'll help.
Yeah, they can bite you, you know. Yeah. You want like the leather, you know.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
For road rash, you know.
Yeah.
You fall off your bike.
I really like the final scene, though, or the confrontation, because we have Luke Perry, and he's sort of like, he thinks that he's going to like save her and save the day, and she's like, no, you just stay here, I'll handle this. And he's like, yeah, I can help too. And he's like, no, you stay here.
Yeah. No,
I've
shut,
got this.
Shut
I'm
up.
The chosen one.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, okay.
And
I brought you your purse with steaks.
Yeah, he kind of definitely is like, wait, you have this way more than I do. Like, I'm trying to be the man, like the macho guy that would normally do this in a movie, but this isn't that movie.
Also, loosen your peanut butter jar lids.
Right. That's why Joss Whedon created it, right? Remember, he always says in interviews that he felt bad for all the women in horror films and like sci-fi, Supernatural. Yeah, and how they were always the victims and stuff, and to have like a beautiful blonde woman as the hero.
Yeah.
Which is revolutionary, right? Like the show and even for this movie. Is the beginning of like the world and creating like as Buffy the character. It's crazy. There's like so few Buffies out there.
Yeah.
Like characters like that.
Yeah.
It's really and who are also funny and like heroic. You know, like when I was just watching Wonder Woman recently, and like I liked Wonder Woman, but something I did notice is that like she isn't, and so the heroes a lot of time aren't necessarily that funny, but it is nice to see like a female, like she wasn't that funny. She was just mostly strong and like, you know, like stoic.
She's tough and inspirational.
Hot, right? But anyway, but Buffy is like those things, but then also very hilarious and has a lot of funny lines.
And her snark is her weapon.
Yeah. And she invents a whole language, right? That's mostly her, how she talks more than any of the other characters is the most, like, this most silly way of speaking.
And she also doesn't abandon the character that was in those horror movies, which is like the girl who likes to shop. Like, she still
she's
can
both.
Do that.
Exactly. Which is amazing too, right? Because it's like, usually as a woman, you're kind of like, oh, you can't be feminine.
Right. You're going like, to be Sigourney Weaver and Alien.
Exactly.
Or, like, to be a main.
You can't wear a skirt and fight.
Yeah. Exactly. You have to become a man.
Yeah.
Be strong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or masculinize.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a lot of movies were saying at the time. That's why this was so important, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's also, you brought up Wonder Woman. Like, that's kind of what I think is good about the show as opposed to the movie, because she does start the show at a place of, like, being in possession of like, her skill set and knowing who she is. Like, Wonder Woman, I know one thing that bugged me about it is it's very much about her being, like, shown the world. I think that got it in the way of me enjoying it as much. Whereas like Buffy, the thing I like about Buffy and a lot of sort of genre things like that is you like having, you know, a hero that you can just kind of put your trust in a way.
Yeah.
So I do mm-hmm. kind of thinking about that piece, like I like that they got this out of the way and kind of a disposable movie in a lot of ways. And we're yeah. just able to have the show they be almost, its own thing.
They almost made it disposable though. Like what were any defining shots? What were sets that were really cool? Like they didn't really put any money or intention into
that
stuff.
It's hard to make a movie, Blaine.
Well, no, I know.
But again, you can't fault it because it did kick off this character yeah. that I think yeah. is tremendously important and amazing.
Well, and
like the potential can be seen. It just doesn't like sort of reach.
And in yeah. fact, I think that Joss Whedon, I remember reading an interview because he was so upset with the product of that film that then like it like really lit a fire under him to make the show because right. he was like, this character needs to like actually yeah. be in something good because I don't want her to die in this movie.
If it was successful and he made the show might have sucked.
Or he right. might have not right. made the yeah. show. If the movie was what he wanted, he maybe yeah. he would have left
he,
it.
He would have made a sequel, another one, and then we would have been done with it. Right?
Yeah. But he was like, no, I need it. I need this to be what I wanted it to be. And then mm-hmm. he was like, I'm going to direct it. I'm going to have control
and
over
then,
it.
And then the show changed TV too, because yeah. you could have these characters in really dire situations doing comedy too. Like it was, yeah, and, it was pretty revolutionary.
One thing I didn't know is it was Dolly Parton's production company.
She's really? So good.
So if it wasn't for Dolly Parton.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
I would love Dolly Parton. She's awesome.
I love Dolly Parton so much, and I love her so much more. I didn't know I could love her more than I already yeah. do.
She should have done a cameo.
That's yeah. Oh my God, she should have been a cameo. She would have played her mom. Imagine if she was Buffy's mom.
That would have been amazing. Well,
that's why she's away so much. She's got all those road dates.
Yeah. She's always working 9 to 5, you know?
It's her spiritual mom.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Dolly Parton. Whoa.
I wonder if there's like a Dolly Parton song about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I hope so.
That'd be amazing.
Like maybe she wrote one for the movie and they didn't put it in.
Oh, my God.
It's just Jolene, but with Buffy.
Doesn't even fit the meter. Yet.
Yeah. Okay. One thing
kind of does.
One thing I thought was weird was Pee Wee Herman's death. Rucker Hauer like kills him, stabs him, and he does this like weird like comedic death scene. Yeah.
Well, that's on point with the handing out detention slips to dead kids. Like that's where like you go, it's arch, and then you kind of break it. And
but
you go
I didn't know he
that.
Was still. I didn't know he was actually dead. I thought he was playing around. It's like such a Pee Wee Herman thing to do.
He for sure improvised that, and then they were like, yeah, we love it. This makes sense.
I think on the trivia
it
says that they let him improvise it. I don't know, though. I thought that was weird.
It was weird.
Everyone speaks really highly of him. I was reading some of the interviews, and like Joss Whedon has, you know, walked off the set, apparently didn't come back because he hated Donald Sutherland so much.
Yeah, he hated Donald Sutherland. Because he was like, he phoned it in. He didn't, he was rude to people on set.
Bad
apparently.
Breath.
Yeah.
There was an interview where they're saying, like, do you think it was because, you know, he was changing around the script or you had a different vision? And he's like, no, he was a prick.
Yeah, well, he would change around the script stuff.
Yeah, he wouldn't say the lines. And apparently, Joss Whedon thought that what he said was incomprehensible.
Yeah. But also, like, Whedon and the director both just said Paul Rubens was just the best.
Oh, that's nice.
He's a sweetheart, probably.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
I mean,
I like his. I like his Twitter. It's very like whimsical. Gives me a dose of whimsy. Of course, sometimes there's like pictures of him masturbating. That's weird.
Yeah, that's very bad. Yeah. Also, kind of a pervert, probably.
Nah, he's not. He's a wonderful guy.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No.
You know him personally?
Well, I don't know. But if
Blaine knows Christy Swanson personally, just say you know Paul Rubens personally.
I know him personally. And
I know him personally, and he's a pervert. He's a pervert. Yeah, yeah. So,
he should have been the watcher. Yeah. So.
But that even that bit kind of reminded me of... was it one of the Austin Powers movies where Will Ferrell does that slow dying thing? And they even have it like
I'm really badly
after
burned.
The credits in both where he's still dying.
Oh, yeah.
It's also weird to think though about like logic, because there's so much logic missing in this, in the film that the show does really well, like them dying and not disappearing. What happens to those bodies? Are they just like vampire bodies all over town?
Do they decompose?
Decompose, like, because they have like weird teeth and stuff. Like, people would find the bodies and be like, what's going on with this kind of human?
That's the other duty of a slayer. You have to clean up all the bodies.
Yeah, but like, are they like
trash bag?
But you know what I mean? Like police and like doctors, like they would investigate these bodies. They'd be like, these are mutants or something is wrong with these bodies. If they didn't disintegrate, like the fact that they turned to dust in the show makes sense because then nobody actually knows they're vampires because they disappear.
Well, I feel like that's also what Josh Joss got to do is like do a dry run of the show and yeah. and see what worked and didn't work in the movie.
See, do you know Joss Whedon also? Because now you're just calling him Joss.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's yeah. I mean, too. I call him Josh.
How many people in this movie are you friends with?
That's your nickname for him is Josh?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I screwed up once. He thought it was funny. You know,
you're like the stepdad, like trying to yeah. like seem like he's cool.
Yeah. Yeah
exactly. I mean, my friend.
I mean, my friend Joshua.
You call him guy. Joshua as well?
Yeah. I elongated it. He calls me Blair. It's a thing, you know? It's fine.
maybe we should decide if we think this movie is rewatchable.
Let's go through it. Jam, what do you think?
No. I mean, I don't think it's a great movie for the reasons we described. I mean, it's hard to kind of reconcile because, like, it's the thing that kicked off one of my favorite things of all things. Buffy might be my favorite TV show. I did watch a lot of 90210.
That's Lost? Right.
What?
Lost was one of your faves too.
No, not really? Compared to Buffy. Okay. Buffy's the best. I love Buffy. Even the guy that created The Wire said Buffy's the best TV show, better than his show.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
He said that? Oh my God, that's such a compliment. To me. Yeah. No, sorry, I don't know. It sounded like I was talking about myself.
I'll tell Josh.
I feel complimented. Right. People compliment his show.
No, but I'm glad it exists, and I'm glad it was shitty, so they got to make it as a show. Yeah. So it's hard to be so happy things turned out the way they did, but also think it's not a great movie. And I think the actors are actually pretty good, with the exception of maybe Donald Sutherland. I think he's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He kept on staring at people and going,
Rob pointed. It's a Body Snatcher reference. I mean, I think it can be not rewatchable and probably not rewatchable, and because of that, made the show that you love, right? Like because it's not rewatchable,
exactly. Yeah. Like because it was a failure, they were able to reboot it as a show, not a great movie.
Can we not hear Rob anymore because he blew out his mic? Is that what happened?
What about you, Jam? What about you, Blair?
Blair!
What about you, Glenn?
I liked this movie a lot when I was a kid, and I thought people were kind of like unduly harsh on it, but they were duly harsh on it. It's not a great movie. It doesn't adhere to reality at all. And there are some movies that can get away with it, but mainly... Biodome? Like, what's his name? Pauly Shore movies can get away with it, but this movie can't.
Such a Pauly Shore vibe. You're right.
It's such a Pauly Shore movie.
It has such that vibe. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And you don't want that for a Buffy. No. You want something that takes it seriously, you know?
Oh, it's so Pauly Shore. Oh, wow.
Pauly Shore the Vampire Slayer. You don't want that.
Oh, that's another thing I read. I did not know this. Seth Green is in this movie.
He is.
Right?
You see the back of his head. He had a scene that was cut out.
And the scene that was cut out is on the back of the VHS release.
I think
on
he's actually in it for 2 seconds, the back of his head.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And he played What's-His-Face in the show.
He was a vampire.
He's
a werewolf.
No, he's a vampire on the movie.
Oh, in the movie. Yeah.
He's a vampire on the movie. Crazy. Whoa. Yeah,
you could be both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those, what are the underworld movies could be solved with this right here?
Yeah. I'm going to say it's mildly rewatchable because I actually thought it was kind of a little bit like bad enough, it's kind of good because we have like the ideal image of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the elements in this are kind of great. Like Luke Perry, Donald Sutherland. I mean, it's just funny that he's in it, right?
There are so many famous people in this movie. Like
Stephen Root, like Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is in it and Hilary Swank. What is Hilary Swank? This is crazy.
She just looks so lost.
Yeah. The scene where the vampire paralyzes her.
Right.
So sad.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, then that other vampire has to euthanize her.
No, he could just like bite her and bring her back.
Oh, that's true.
Or would she be like a paralyzed vampire?
Oh man.
Anyway, make a movie about a Clint Eastwood. Yeah. So I found it kind of enjoyable and it's sort of fun to like to laugh at because it's not great, but it's kind of entertaining, you know?
Right.
And like it seems like a stupid idea. Like if you say it out loud, like it does. Oh, seem a like cheerleader becomes a vampire slayer. And the show does it completely better.
Yeah.
Because it takes away the cheerleader part. But so I'm gonna say it's mildly rewatchable. Jess, what about you? You're the guest. You get to have the deciding vote.
Wait, wow. Wait, are we, what were the number? You said no.
They said no.
You both said no. Nah. No, you said yeah.
No, I said no.
You said official no.
So you said yeah. You could bring it up to a nah.
It really doesn't affect the movie that much.
It does. Yeah.
We won't go round up all the copies and burn
this
them.
This affect box office sales.
Yeah, exactly. We have a Rotten Tomatoes.
It's still in the
thing,
theaters,
so.
Right? Is it still running?
Yeah. They're going to bring back Buffy the Vampire Slayer for all the fans, the show with all the characters. They're going to reboot it for Netflix, but only if you decide that the 1992 movie is brilliant.
I always had fantasies about it, like about the show becoming a movie. And, oh man, I wish it. Anyway, that's another podcast. So, okay, yeah. I mean, I have a very tragic experience with this movie. It cost me.
Your PTSD.
Yeah, my vampire PTSD. But yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's like a nostalgic, cheesy movie that you watch, and it's not good, but it's nostalgic if you were born around that time, or I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the most I could say. I think that teenagers now would watch it and be like, this is awful. So yeah. I don't think it's a good movie, but I think it's fun in the way that a lot of other bad movies are fun that are nostalgic. However, I am glad that it exists. And I am still glad that it's bad in a way, because I think it was Joss Whedon hitting rock bottom.
Yeah.
And then that kicked him up a notch. And like, then he had enough motivation to make the show. So I really do think I'm glad it was so bad in every way. Because if any of it was slightly better, I think he would have retired. You know, and I don't know, just kept writing for Roseanne, I guess. He would have just gone back to Roseanne and been like, I'm set with Roseanne forever.
It's probably given a lot of really shitty writers hope. Like, they make a movie that doesn't work very well, and they're like, oh, maybe I'll make a brilliant TV show out of it. Yeah.
It really is.
Something better than The Wire, so.
It really is. It is.
Well, the first Wire movie, you know, with Christy Swanson. It wasn't very good.
Like, it's a great inspirational story.
Crack and everything.
It is.
Well, it's so, because he talks about how depressed he was, because it was like his first big movie, right? He hadn't really written a film before, and then it was ruined by several people and not what he wanted at all, as you can tell by the show. And then he said he was so miserable. It was such a flop and a failure. And then he came back from it. And then became this incredible, you know, historic television writer now.
Yeah.
But his movies always kind of miss the marks. With the third Alien, or is it the fourth Alien? What? Fourth Alien that he did rewrites on.
No, he wrote the script.
He wrote the script. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even a huge fan of
his.
I just happen to love Buffy. I haven't even watched Angel.
Yeah. Angel's great too.
So it's good.
Everything else he makes. Oh, and Firefly is incredible.
Firefly, yeah, he
Firefly.
Really kills at TV. Yeah,
yeah, but Dollhouse is not.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, he did a lot of other great stuff. Firefly and Buffy are incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure he's going places.
I never saw that Shakespeare movie he made in his backyard.
Much Ado About Nothing.
With the whole Buffy cast.
I think that's supposed to be really good.
Yeah,
it's like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah,
plays.
Yeah, he took just all of his actors from
and then
Firefly
he has
and
that
Buffy
Eyes one where it's a romantic movie about people that see out each other's eyes, directed it or wrote it.
Oh yeah, maybe at the Cabin in the Woods. Was that him?
Oh yeah, Cabin in the Woods.
Didn't he direct that?
He co-wrote it.
His
co-writer.
I never saw it, but I heard it was actually amazing.
It's great.
It was
good. I liked it. I mean, it was sort of
I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of Buffy-esque moments.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Rewatchability. You can find us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Endy Mattress and HelloFresh. Jess, thanks for coming on our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Where can they find you?
Oh, I have a podcast as well. It's being relaunched very soon, actually, after taking a little bit of a hiatus, called The Crimson Wave. It's all about periods, so you should check that out. I host a show every week at Comedy Bar.
Period pieces?
We do a lot of period pieces.
We forgot to talk about how the Watcher tells Buffy that her midriff is a special skill.
Does he actually?
Yeah, when vampires are near, you'll get cramps.
It's like her spider sense.
Oh my god, I forgot
But in her uterus.
About that. That is insane.
That was so uncomfortable. Because she's always just walking around with one hand on her uterus.
You know, we're going to have to start again.
One hand on my uterus.
Was that Joss Whedon who wrote that? I'm kind of in shock. I hope not.
That was one of the things he got upset that Donald Sutherland ad-libbed. He's why did you bring that up?
He had to run with it for the rest of the movie.
I
hope he ad-libbed
that. That's
amazing. I could see him doing that for sure.
I'm taking back my mild rewatchable.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
just occurred to me.
I totally forgot about that. That's so insane.
And you can also donate to us on Patreon.
The podcast is coming back.
Yeah.
Where do people find that?
Also, side note, I had really bad cramps when I got my period.
Holy shit, there could be a vampire.
So maybe that's why I was scared of vampires.
Or we're vampires.
Oh, vampire. I got brutal cramps, and I was like, it's real. The vampires are real. They're coming for me. And then there's blood everywhere. Oh, my God. It's a real horror film. Anyway, okay, sorry. Yeah, so I have a podcast about periods, and then I host a show every Sunday night at Comedy Bar, among other things. Yeah, many things you could find me on.
Well, thanks for coming on our podcast.
Yeah, do you have like a Twitter?
Yeah, I have a Twitter at Miss Jess Beaulieu. Yep.
Great.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.